7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 58 of Color of Magic. I am your host, Jaquan Watson, and as always, I've got my main man, Brian Allen, here. How's it going, dude?
Pretty good. Still never going outside.
Yeah, we're kind of back in that spot now. There's a bunch of lockdowns going on all over the place. The amusing thing to me is that how many people are just like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to go do XYZ again. And I'm like, when were we able supposed to be going out and doing XYZ? I sure haven't for the last 9 months.
No joke.
Like, I've seriously, like, my longest trips to see other humans actually is when I went to see the professor last week. And we'll talk about that later in the episode. But prior to that, it's been like grocery stores or dropping stuff off at the post office.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen 3 people outside of my house for more than like an hour. You know, not counting like repairmen and delivery people or whatever.
Yeah.
And we've had 5 total people come visit our house since March, I believe. That's it. I mean, and of those, all those people are working jobs where they're super safe or they're working from home. That's it.
Us, it's mostly the mother-in-law, and she lives by herself and large and interacts with probably less than 5 people. So,
yeah, that's why when I see all these people freaking out about, oh, I can't do this, I can't go see these things, I can't, I'm like, when were you doing all these things? You were part of the problem.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been doing that. But yeah, all right, before we get into this episode, which we have a lot to talk about. Oh man, there is a lot to talk about. Like, I will even tell y'all, like, pause right now. Go heat some tea. Maybe get a little coffee. I know we're all at home right now, so you can kick up your feet. Put on the headphones. I will say, get your sips in early, because there's going to be some times we're going to probably have some pretty funny stuff. There's going to be some stuff that's going to be, I don't know, maybe get you worked up a little bit. So don't want you choking on your warm beverage. That's all I'm saying. But get cozy, because it's going to be a bit of an episode here. But we do have a sponsor we want to tell you about, cardsphere.com. If you're a regular, you know all about them. We tell you about them every week. If you're new, you got to go check out this site. They are super cool people. They support so many of the good folks that are making content right now. And it's a great way right now, especially if you're trying to make money for the holidays, to dig through some of your magic stuff, put it online, sell it for the price you want to. And honestly, the transactions are quick. I mean, most of my stuff, between 4 and 7-ish days, I've got my stuff mailed out, money's paid out, and then you can just deposit or withdraw right into your PayPal account. It's pretty sweet. But yeah, definitely check them out. They are cardsphere.com. And if you'd like to support the show, check out patreon.com/colorofmagic. Every little bit helps, and we are super thankful. Also, an update. Because I told everybody I had playmats in process, I actually had to kill that process because of a personal deal outside of the show with Ultra Pro. And Ultra Pro is going to be making those for me now. I know it's unfortunate. It backed everything up by like another 2 weeks, so I'm super sad about that. I would have had them in my hands already, but you know, business. I just want to be professional about it. So those playmats will be coming shortly. I got the proofs today. They showed me what they're going to look like. So I'm hoping they're here within the next couple, let's say within 2 weeks. I should get them just after the holidays. And I will be getting some sample quantities. Those are all going to go to the people who are already at the proper level of our Patreon. And the others, when they come in the following week or two, it will be available for the masses. Some will give away, some will sell. But yeah, we'll let everybody know about that once those are in. All right. Like I said, this show is going to be a lot of fun. A whole lot of fun. But man, open the doors to the soapbox. Let's get that crowd in here, because this is a good one today. This is a good one. All right, so I have a mini rant, first off. We're going to get this one out of the way. Because for those of you who've been using Twitter on mobile, you'll see across the top, like all the other mobile services, Twitter decided to add the equivalent of Instagram stories or Facebook stories or whatever we call these things now, that people can take little snippets and put it at the top of your timeline. But for some godforsaken reason, they decided to call them fleets. That, like, nothing is good about the name fleets. Like, one, we only associate it with either something getting away or some boats, right? Like, why fleet? Like, what is that? Like, it's not even a fun word to say when you're talking about, like, are you going to tell us about, like, hey, did you see my fleet this morning that I put up? Like, that just seems so weird. Like, sometimes I seriously wonder when you're talking about, like, marketing groups or people, PR people that are coming up with stuff, like, that's the best you could do? I guarantee you, if we put that to Twitter right now, we could probably have 20 good suggestions in about 10 minutes. There is no reason that needs to be called fleets. Like, but anyway.
It's like when Patrick came up with the marketing slogan, chum is fum.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like that, actually. All right, so that one's out of the way. I just wanted to get that in there, because when people are talking about fleets, I'm like, what the hell is fleets? Because mine didn't come up immediately. Mine was like on later in like the third day of it, I think. So I was like, I don't even know what people are talking about. And they're like, no, there's going to be this thing in your timeline. I'm like, okay, but what are those? And they're like, no, fleets is what they're called. And I'm like, oh God, why? But, you know, it is what it is. So we now have fleets on Twitter. Will I be utilizing them? Probably, you know, on some level. I just got to figure out the best way to utilize it. Because one of the biggest things is every piece of social media should be treated differently. You have different audiences, different crowds, how they interact with your stuff. So I'll put some time into learning it and figuring out the best utilization. And if I can figure out something, sure. Expect to see some Daquan, Power Dragon, Color of Magic fleets at some point in the future. I don't know.
It just sounds so stupid to say.
It does. It sounds horrible. But, you know, it is what it is.
My theory is that the people, or some of the people that got fired when Quibi went under, have apparently landed at Twitter. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, Quibi wasn't a good name either. They could have done better. Okay, so the real rant this week. Now, I feel like this needs a little bit of setup. So for those of you that haven't seen it or aren't aware, for some unknown reason, maybe you're under a heavy rock and you couldn't move it. There was the, I guess it's being referred to as the Million MAGA March last week. And as it turns out, wasn't even close to a million. All accounts say somewhere between 10 and 13,000. But during this, which, side note, if you're going to march alongside Nazis and Proud Boys, even if you're not one of them, you're a sympathizer, and that's still bad. Like, just saying, I want to put that out there.
If you support the whole day off work to go out with the Nazis.
But if you support a group to the point that you are going to open arms these hate groups, then that says something about you. I mean, it just does, right? Like, and that's just being serious. But the Proud Boys who were part of this decided they were going to hold some of their initiations. And that's the other thing, too. They're doing this publicly, being filmed, whatever. So this already tells you how, like, brash they're being about the whole thing. Now, I know some of you may not know about, we will call it gang culture. But once upon a time, it was big about jumping people into the gang. Kind of a blood in, blood out scenario. And you kind of pretty much just had to get beat up by the people in the gang you were choosing to hang out with to be officially accepted within that group. So it appears, going into this video I'm watching, that the Proud Boys have adopted something similar. So there's a dude in the middle, and I don't know, like five people around him. that look like, I guess they're going to be the ones preparing to throw down, rain down fist on this guy. Which, by the way, okay, I also want to set this up, that this is pretty much a stereotypical group of Proud Boys. Bunch of them are like, look like they're maybe upper 20s, low 30s. Heavy set white dudes, all but I think like two of them in the thing had some beard action going on. They're pretty much stereotypes, right? Not saying there's anything wrong with that look. I'm just saying, when you think of Proud Boys, this is what's in the image. I'm just trying to give you all a full picture. So far, everything looks like, okay, I get what's going on here. This all makes sense. Then you have a head guy. I don't know what you call the head guy in a Proud Boys organization, but anyway.
Proudest boy? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. The proudest boy. I don't know. But like, so he's there, I guess, orchestrating this ordeal. And he's yelling the mantra, like, you know, like you would do in the military. Like, the commander says something, and then you recite the thing back, right? So he's saying, well, I'm a proud Western chauvinist. And the guy that's about to get his butt kicked is like, I'm a proud Western chauvinist. And I'm not going to apologize for creating the modern world. I'm not going to apologize for creating the modern world, or whatever it is, right? And then they say go. And this is not the beatdown you think it's going to be. And when I say not what you think it's going to be, it ain't even close. Like, you've got five dudes beating on you, and those are barely harder than love taps. These were not even remotely hard punches. I mean, these are barely harder than, like, when you're joking with your friend and you, like, punch your friend in the shoulder or whatever. Like, because, you know, you're just laughing really hard and you smack your friend. Like, there's like that, but there's like, I don't know, five people's worth, right? And they're like laughing and giggling and whatever while it's going on. And even there, I was like, you know what? This is just dumb. But then they gave me like the piece de resistance, which was the seller, the kicker. Like, I couldn't have asked for a more amazing bit. The proudest boy, as we're calling him, starts yelling numbers. He just says like one. And then after he says one, the dude getting his butt kicked yells like, Cocoa Puffs. And then he says two. And the guy's like, Frosted Flakes. And I'm like, what's even happening right now? Like, it's, and y'all, hey, I have some friends that are big men. They know I don't fat shame. But this is like, this is like the biggest boy thing possible. Like, you're in a bad jump circle yelling breakfast cereals, man. Come on. Like, what is this? What, like, it's laughably bad. It really, and then he falls to the ground and they're still like hitting him, whatever, and they get up and everybody's giggling and there's like high fives and like, you're a proud boy now or whatever. And I'm like, how are you proud to put this out? Like, it's in your name. Proud boy, give yourself something to be proud of. That crap is embarrassing. I don't even like them. And I'm trying to like, dude, get your crap together.
Yeah, this is just looking again. I want them to fail too, but just looking from a pure recruitment standpoint, it's like, who thought this? But that's the frightening part, I guess, is that people are watching this and go, yeah, these are guys I want to hang out with. These dudes really have it together. Where do I sign up?
I'm more mad because like, that's my adversary. You're not even giving me a worthy adversary.
They make the Nazis from Hogan's Heroes look competent by comparison.
For real. Like you could have, like, if you're going to name things, like, you know, name the top five, like, people we admire, like Hitler, Stalin, you know, whatever. Like, that would have made sense, right? Name black people we don't like, you know, like, yeah. MLK, Al Sharpton, whatever. Like, so many other things you could have done that I at least would have been like, yeah, all right, that checks out. That's legit. You know what I mean? But the breakfast cereals just killed me, dude. Just killed me. Like I literally watched all the way to that point and all of it, I'm kind of like, okay, whatever. This is dumb, like, group initiation crap or whatever. They're weaklings or whatever, but fine. But then when I got to the breakfast cereals, I'm like, damn right I'm talking about this on the show this week. Like, that was the clincher for me. But anyway, the video's out there. Feel free to look on my timeline if you want to see it. I think I retweeted it on, I think it was like the 14th or 15th, if you want to scroll back and check it out. But gosh damn, embarrassing. Like, how bad is it when you feel bad? Yeah, because they're that incompetent. Like, I tell people all the time, even when I had my store, like, I expect people are going to steal from me. Bad people are going to do bad things. I was insulted when you thought I wasn't just going to catch something obvious. Because then I was like, well, you're just saying that you don't even think I'm aware enough or I'm good enough for you to put in real effort. That's sort of what this feels like. Like, these dudes are just joking around, whatever, talking about being Western chauvinists and creating the modern world and hating all these people or whatever. And they have this kind of crap going on and people still want to join them? Like, what the hell is wrong with y'all?
Nobody involved in this initiation has created Western civilization or more than likely anything of use ever.
Dude, most of those guys...
initiation ritual properly.
Most of those guys probably haven't even made a mortgage payment, much less...
that too.
Like, for real. Like, come on. Like, you cannot... like, there's not a single dude in that... there was like one dude that I would remotely say looked tough in that whole video. And even he was participating in a thing that makes me question his level of toughness, let me tell you.
It's a whole tickle fight.
I'm just like, I've been hurt worse than that, just getting fouled, going to the basket, playing basketball.
My kids like, have run into me harder than this by accident, just running around the house, being kids.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. But anyway, sorry if y'all were sipping that tea or coffee I told you. I gave you fair warning. All right, Brian, why don't you tell people what you learned last week?
I actually learned to play Commander this week. So now I am certified Commander expert or something like that.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, we definitely want to talk to you about that later on the show for sure. But just to kind of lead in, let's not sell the whole story here because I do want to go into detail later. But... what did you think about it?
Definitely a lot of fun. Something I'm going to do again. I don't know that I'm going to, you know, have a whole, you know, $1,000 budget for it. I'm pretty sure I will not be doing that, but definitely a fun format.
Do you see yourself building multiple commander decks or buying multiple commander decks to play?
I mean, I'd probably not more than two or three because 100 cards is a whole, that's a huge commitment.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of interesting. I have a lot of the same perspective there that I like Commander, but, and even though it's casual and I'm not, and I don't even care about building like powerful Commander decks. I usually just look for things that are fun and play the fun cards I want to play. But even just trying to build toward that feels like it takes so long to pick out all the cards I want to play with and shave the cards down to get to 100 versus me putting together like a 60 card list really quickly. So I don't know. It's cool, though, that it worked out for you and you had a good time.
Definitely.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk to you more about that because I think it's fun to see your perspective now because you're stepping into a whole new part of the game for the first time. As far as myself, what I learned last week, and I think this more just reiterated something to me, that I watch a lot of people, and I saw it a little bit in my chat, but I also saw it in a couple other people's on stream, that people get upset if the streamer doesn't immediately say, like, hello back. And it's a little tough, right? Because your expectation is like, okay, I'm going to stroll into this person's stream when there's already like 100 other people here and there's a conversation happening and I'm going to ask them like, hey, how are you doing? And then if they don't say something back within the first minute, like they start repeating it and highlighting messages and whatever. And it's just like, it's tough because if you're the streamer, you're also trying to play the game or do whatever it is you're doing or have whatever conversation you're having with the audience while also trying to monitor chat or whatever. And it's like, you just may miss it or you just may not have a time, especially if you're a bigger streamer. Like for me, I can mostly handle it because like my upper end is like 120-ish or whatever, right? So that's still manageable. But I don't know how you do it when you're one of these people that has 500 people or 1,000 people in your stream and the chat's just rolling, right? Like there's no way.
No way.
Yeah, you can't address every person. And it's like, I think people just need to take a step back and understand that, like, the streamer can't give you 100% individual attention all the time. Like, sometimes just gonna, hell, last night I had a thing where people spent challenge points to play against me, and we were all kind of caught up in having multiple discussions and playing things that I forgot somebody spent the challenge points. So, you know, I had to apologize back up and then, like, set up a challenge game so we could play each other. So, I mean, stuff just happens sometimes. It's not about ignoring anyone. And that was somebody who's a semi-regular. So it wasn't like I didn't like them or anything. We've had conversations. Like, it was just one of those things. I just got caught up in the moment. So I can imagine if you have four or five times that many people in your stream, it only gets compoundedly worse, I guess. But yeah, I don't know, Brian. Like, have you seen that in other people's streams or anything?
Oh, absolutely. And I was just talking about a Twitter thread where, you know, people will take it a step further and creepier, you know, and find somebody on Twitter, start messaging them like, hey, you know, notice me, basically. And it's just, especially, you know, if it's a guy doing it to a woman, it's now you're stalking, basically.
Yeah, that's totally true. Like, if you were to do that to me, or even if I found out you were doing that to somebody, I'd probably just blacklist you from my channel.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
It's one of the many things that happens to women way more than what it happened. Not that I haven't had some bizarre people, you know, you try to get too, I guess, friendly or familiar, but I feel like it happens to women just way more.
Oh, I'm no doubt it happens to women way more. I bet it happens like 10-1 to women more than guys. If I were just guessing.
Another thing I saw that just, again, horrified me, where women are talking about how they have to be careful when they even get up to take a break because people are clipping them walking away. It's like, oh my God, the creepy.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that. That's
somebody that I follow on Twitter was saying that somebody made like 12 clips just to her walking, you know, walking to the next room.
I mean, I like the female figure, but I'm not going to be like creeping and just be like, oh man, she just got up to go to the bathroom. Let's see if I can get this like 3 seconds. Like,
yeah.
How, what's wrong, man? Like, those are dudes I just want to grab and just shake. Just like, what's wrong with you? And then not only that, enough that they had enough to put together a montage.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't see that somebody clips you unless they send it to you. Or, I mean, I don't know. Do you see that somebody clipped it unless they send it or share it? I don't know how she found out that they had done that.
I feel like it's happened both ways, where I've sometimes seen the clip when somebody clipped it or the notice, and then I've seen other times where I didn't and somebody just shared it, the link in the chat.
Okay.
So I don't know.
See, I don't know how she knew that they had clipped it, or if they clipped it and then sent it to her, which is even a whole other level of creepiness.
Yeah, that's not a compliment.
No.
Like, for real. That's, yeah.
And stalker. I mean, it's just...
It is.
In any other form of... any other form of life, that'd be like, hey, it's time to... And Twitch, too. Twitch probably should... Not even probably. They should be more proactive on that than what they are. That's a complaint I've heard from countless people. And they say they're working on it.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, again, just put that in the category. If I find out you're one of those people, blacklist you from all my stuff. I got no problem with that. Because that's just creepy. Even if I find a woman attractive, I'm not going to be clipping her getting up to leave her seat. Like,
That's not who you probably should be in therapy at that point. I don't think that's normal behavior.
That goes further than creepy. Like, that feels dangerous.
It really does.
Yeah, it there's something going on where that, I feel like, even just thinking about it, I feel like that person who does that type of thing is only like two steps away from doing the crazy dangerous thing.
Yeah.
You know, showing up to your house or mailing you something weird, you know, you get the dead rabbit in the pot or whatever, yeah. You know, Like, it feels like you're not far from that. By the way, that's an old movie reference for those of y'all that don't know. Yeah. So let's talk about some other things here. There was a Twitter thread that got started, and it wasn't a heavy thread, but somebody shared a write-up they did talking about, and I'm using Game Nights as the example because that's what they use, but that shows like Game Nights, by advertising for Wizards and stuff and then using such expensive cards in their games, are basically encouraging predatory practices, because people will choose to try to replicate those decks and spend money on those cards and probably do harm to themselves not buying other things they need to buy. And that was a little weird to me, because part of it is, well, that's really more of just like a general capitalistic consumption thing more than a Game Nights and Wizards thing. But the other part of that was the times that they have actually promoted Wizards products, at least in my memory, I could be wrong, that those tend to be the least expensive of the decks because they're made predominantly of newer cards or the actual Commander decks when they're showing those off, right? So I'm not really sure how those go hand in hand to like encourage people to go spend more on Commander. But even if we exclude those, that's just kind of part of the format. If you're playing a certain deck or whatever, it's like, cool. There's other options that are similar if you don't want to spend the money on the thing. You know, the thing I brought up was like, well, if somebody's doing, say, Pauper content, right? Pauper's designed to be cheap. It's all commons or whatever. But by people doing active Pauper content and Pauper events, you start creating a higher value of some of those commons. So you can actually have a Pauper deck that's probably like $80 or $100, right? Because you're playing with some rare $5, $10, and $20 cards that just haven't been printed in forever. Does that make it wrong for them to produce that content? Like, I don't think so. It doesn't feel like it. But I don't know. It's an interesting perspective. Like, where do you stand on this?
I mean, to me, if a card, you know, if the price of a card is out of whack, that's part of the story. And to some extent, content creators are journalists. We're talking about what's going on in the game. Like, hey, why is this card $50? That's part of the story. Is there a card that does the same thing this $50 card does for $3? That's also part of the story, but, you know, it's something that we're supposed to talk about.
Yeah, and one of the things for me, too, is I feel like we don't have an agreed-upon definition for predatory that people in the game community like to use. And I covered this, we covered this a bit, you know, this in the next segment on the private episode. So we won't go as deep on this. But when I think of predatory, I think of like the military recruitment offices I've seen, especially through the South, that are set up in like lower income or right wing areas, neighborhoods, whatever, knowing that they could get easy recruits, people that don't have prospects for college or anything, and, you know, meet their quotas, right? To me, that's a little predatory, right? If you're going to go and do that, right? That makes sense to me. But just saying like, hey, here's a new product, go buy it. I don't, again, that feels more capitalistic, but not necessarily predatory. Like, there's no way, at least I don't feel like, I don't think there's a real way somebody that makes an item, whether we're talking about Magic cards or sneakers or, I don't know, like we said, jerseys, just other things, shoes, you know, that somebody isn't going to go out of their way to want to buy it if they're a fan of your thing.
To me, as right? long as you're disclosing that, hey, this is, you know, Wizards or whoever paid for this, as long as you're saying that up front, I don't have a problem with you including somebody's product in your content. Long as something, you know, like, I don't know, broken glass and for kids to play with or something.
Sure. I mean, last night I did a thing on stream where I'm like, hey, just so you all know, like, I'm sponsored by Ultra Pro, blah, blah, blah. Here's a thing that they're going to be doing with TCG Player. Check out this link, you know? So it wasn't just like, hey, Power Dragon saying, go check out this thing. It's like, hey, here's the reason I'm telling you. Like, I'm making it up front that my sponsor is running a contest. Go sign up for this thing, right? I mean, people might be like, hey, you're encouraging people to go do a thing. I'm like, well, they're paying my bills, and the agreement is I tell people when they have stuff going on, right?
One of the products we're, you know, thinking about on Twitch is energy drinks, because, you know, we're hearing a lot of people, or I would say a lot of people, some people have had heart attacks and other adverse effects from drinking too many energy drinks in a short span of time. So some streamers are saying, you know what, I'm not going to hawk energy drinks anymore on my show.
Yeah. And see, and that's a tough one too, right? Because
they put a lot of money into Twitch streams. They know who their audience is.
Yeah. But is the streamer at fault? Or, I mean, or even the company, like, is that also predatory, saying like, hey, you're like using G Fuel as an example, because they're the popular one everybody's heard of, right? And they put out like a new flavor every month, it seems like. Yeah, but if everybody's hawking the new flavor, is that predatory to say like, you're a fan of their product, you're a fan of the streamer, so you're encouraged to go spend whatever it is, $20 on this tub of powder or whatever? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, actually, this is a good time. Like, if you have an opinion, bring the conversation. If you're one of our patrons, hop over to the Discord and kind of let us know what you think about this, because I'm very curious. Because I'm willing to accept I could be on the wrong side of this argument. But it doesn't, when I watch game nights, nothing about that comes off as predatory to me. And the fact that they have paid staff, which, by the way, if y'all ever wondering why their content looks the way it does, they have dedicated people to help with everything, like camera people, sound engineer, you know, graphics folks. Like, they have a top-notch product for a reason, and they have to have sponsors to make the money. Like, that's how bills are paid. That's how bills are paid for everything you watch, by the way.
Yeah.
Whether it's Netflix, your favorite cable TV show, you know, whatever, like, somebody's buying some level of advertisement or endorsements or whatever to pay for this stuff. That's just how capitalism works, sadly. I'm not the biggest fan of capitalism, but, you know, that's how we're trying to operate. You know what I mean?
It's, you know, it's part of our culture. Soap operas are called soap operas because that's who used to advertise on all of them, were people that made soap and washing detergent.
Yeah, just one of those things. We do have another piece of Magic news, though, to talk about that actually was a bit of controversy that got out of hand really quickly. And again, we kind of already went in depth on this on the other one, so we're just going to touch on this lightly because we still have several things to talk about on this episode. But I feel like we'd be wrong to at least not discuss it for the masses. That, for those of you who don't know, the Magic Online Championship Series had their big finish for the year last weekend. We had a situation with Michael Jacob and Oliver Tu, two well-known players, really good players. And the situation we had was, at one point, MJ had the opportunity to combo out, you know, to gain some large amount of life, pick a number. But he also knew it was going to take several steps. You have to click all the buttons, go through all the things, you know. So at one point, he just offers to Oliver, saying like, hey, can we just agree, effectively, paraphrasing this here, by the way, but effectively, can we just agree that I have whatever big number of life and you just don't attack with your things and we call it good? And Oliver, well, I guess that, like, or this would basically end the game because you can't kill me, right? Oliver says, well, I won't attack you, but I do have a way to mill you, so I can at least play toward that. All right, cool. Now, I think there's already some issues there. I don't think MJ should even offer the thing, just go through the steps, whatever. But as you get later in that situation, there comes a time where Oliver's clock's low. He's got a bunch of zombies that he's just filled up the board with, and he starts to attack and ends up winning. And now things get weird, because you went from one player kind of being in the wrong to just not go through the effort. But now that you have the other player who's agreed to it, he's now kind of broke a social contract that, like, court of public opinion is about to roast you. And man, I didn't see it when it, I had to go back and rewatch. I didn't see it live, but I saw the reaction to it. And to me, it just looked like people were vague booking at first. I didn't know, or vague tweeting, I should say. I didn't know even what people were mad about. And once I got it all in context, I was like, ooh, this is a case where I think we're just dealing with two wrongs here. And the situation got real bad. But from my perspective, I think the hardest part of all of it, first, let me say this. Both players did put out official statements. Both of them owned up to their mistakes involved in the whole thing. You know, both seemed apologetic and genuine. So this isn't an attack at either one of them. This is just the situation, just, you know, it's one of those perfect storm things where this thing happened, and then it just snowballed into a bigger and bigger thing. And the hardest part, though, was I think a lot of people just not taking a second to step back before deciding they wanted to tweet something. Or I heard there was some stuff on different Discords, Facebook groups, whatever. But I think it's a matter of just like understanding the scenario, taking both people's situation into account, and then try to have a productive conversation around it other than just attacking someone's character. Because you know as well as I do, Brian, like you've been, I don't know, however old Oliver is, 22, 23-ish. Like you've been that age.
Oh, yeah.
Like how many times did you impulsively do something that you almost immediately regretted with some time within the next hour to 24 hours?
Oh, countless. And unfortunately, I was writing for a student newspaper, so some of the dumb things are in print.
There you go. Right. And I think that's the issue for some people, right? They have not been in a high pressure scenario with literally thousands of eyeballs on you at one time while you made that mistake. And I've made several. Hell, I've made some even after 23, to be honest. But I also didn't have, again, 1,000 eyes watching me when it went down. And I think that's a tough spot for a kid to have. I mean, I say kid, you're an adult, but I mean, you're a young adult, right? I mean, that's a tough spot for a kid to have to work through. And for Oliver to come back and say like, hey, you know, I really shouldn't have done that. If this is something I agreed to, I get it. I understand why people are mad, you know, all that. And then there's another wrinkle because he went and actually talked to the Wizards officials to have the result reversed. Which, to my knowledge, that's the first time that's happened. Now, we've had events where, like, maybe you filled out the result slip wrong. And both players were like, yeah, he beat me. You know, there was somebody else who was watching the game that can verify whatever. We get it corrected so the right person gets the final result or whatever. But this is the first time I can think of where we've had an event conclude and then go back and reverse the result.
That sounds like some pro wrestling stuff. Restart the match. It's bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the weird part, right? I sort of feel like we reached the right conclusion, at least from a social faux pas perspective. Right, here's a good thing for you, Brian. Like you started playing Commander, right? Imagine if you because since you're a new Commander player, let's say you're playing in a group of four. One of the players is like, hey, we really need to get rid of this card. You're the only one that can do it, but it's going to make you vulnerable. So how about like you do this? I won't attack you for two turns just so we can get rid of this other card that's a problem for us. And then the following turn, they attack you. You're going to feel some kind of way about it, right?
I mean, I probably wouldn't, because I think it's almost like to me the thing that the thing it reminds me of is Civilization. We all know that we're all trying to win this game, and at some point you're going to have to take some kind of action that your opponent is not prepared or does not expect. So I think to some extent, hate to keep coming back to wrestle, but Stone Cold would say, DTA, you don't trust anybody.
Well, see, and that was my initial thought when I heard what went down. I just said outright, like, and I don't know, maybe it's just having the rug pulled out from under me enough times in my lifetime or having people go back on situations that I'd already clarified or whatever, when we're talking about literally tens of thousands of dollars, I'm not taking chances.
I think that's, to me, as you said, I don't think Michael should have asked the question, nor should Oliver have accepted, because we're both trying to win, and you're supposed to, I guess, at that point. But you may have, you know, the game-winning infinite thing. I'm going to need you to show me if we're playing for thousands of dollars. Or to be honest, you know, if we're playing for 200 bucks, go do your combo. Show me. You're going to have to kill me. I'm not going to hand it over to you.
I'm with you. That was sort of my initial thing, is like on either side, like I would not have asked and I definitely would not have accepted. Not to just be mean or not because I don't like either guy or anything, but just like, hey, here, this is just a situation. We're both professionals. Let's just do what we have to do. You know, and just take away that whole element. But, you know, like I said, it had a reasonable resolution. It seems like a one in a million weird scenario that actually happened. And I'm not too upset that it happened, because I feel like this is one of those weird corner cases that until it happens, we won't ever really address it because there's no need to. Now, it's at least out of the way. And fortunately, it happened in a scenario with two guys that were willing to resolve it, talk it out publicly, you know, own up to their mistakes and whatever. And it feels like there's a good ending to this whole thing. But man, there was a good couple of hours on Twitter where it was just post after post. It was crazy. But some fun news that happened. So I want to address this, but I got to go and work with the professor last week from Tolarian Community College. And this is an interesting thing, you know, because, well, one, I want to kind of put something out there. That, you know, some people have reached out to me and like, oh man, working with the biggest YouTube channel, that's going to be huge for you, whatever. There is some rub that happens there, to be in wrestling terms, right? Like you work with somebody who's got more popularity, good or bad, win or lose, you're going to gain some popularity for working with that person. I understand how that works. But I have also turned down working with some people because my thing is, if I'm not bringing anything to you, to your community, to your discussion that I think is worthwhile, all I'm doing is mooching. And I don't want to be one of those people. So I don't want this to look like just a money grab move that I was like, oh man, I get to go work with the professor. Absolutely. I'm going to go do this, you know, whatever. And this is going to skyrocket me to the moon. There is a benefit, but I believe we had some very good content to come out of that. Now, I do also want to preface this, because when I shared it on Twitter, which it was nice to see how excited people were about it. Also, and I will say this, and we talked about this on the video, but I'm not one that really has imposter syndrome, because I feel like I bust my butt to try to make a name for myself. But when I saw people saying like, oh, my two favorite content creators are working together or whatever, that's a little hard to wrap my head around. Yeah. You know, when I've only been doing content full time for like a year, and you know, my channel's, I don't know, by the time this is up, like 8,000 subscribers ish. And I'm working with a guy who has like 500,000 subscribers, you know, like one of us has a little more clout than the other one. Right. But
you can still be their favorite creator though.
That's true. I may just be. So that was kind of interesting to kind of see that play out. But one of the other things was seeing the number of people that assumed we were going to get together and play Magic. And I feel the need to have to explain to people something that the professor and I both understand. We are in a pandemic. We weren't going to meet up just to play. We're not only just meet up, like drive multiple hours to just play Magic. Right. That doesn't even make sense. Like when I saw those, I really had the thought of like, how little do you think of my responsibility or my lack of intent or whatever? Because like that to me would have just been irresponsible on both sides. That'd been like him inviting me to say like, hey, why don't you come drive and come visit and we can play Magic for a day or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds sweet. And then I get in my car and drive, right? Like that sounds ignorant. What we did do, though, so I can give kind of the context to this whole thing, is we talked about it for about somewhere between a month and 5 weeks ahead of time before we actually got together. And we were going to do it the week before, but, you know, there was the election and we didn't know. For all we knew, there could have been riots in the streets or something, literally. So we're like, let's not plan for that week. Let's do it the following week. And we exchanged some things. I came up with some ideas for things we could talk about so I could make sure the content was going to be worth it. If there's anything I needed to research or prepare, we could do that. You know, we agreed on everything. It was good. We also each got COVID tests, I think like 7 to 10 days out. So we knew like, hey, we're both good in the clear. And when I got there, it was just the two of us. We were in a studio and we worked. It was basically a work retreat for 36 hours. And we made three pieces of content. Mine went up like a week ago. His went up today. And then the other will be coming.
And I got to ask, you know, is YouTube getting your stats right on these things?
So yes, okay, they are. Like, that's a whole different thing, too. Like, the whole YouTube thing. Like, I can talk to you a bit more off. Well, I'll put it here. Well, there's some technical side stuff that is just going to make for bad listening. But basically, my numbers, as far as the revenue charts go, are actually reading normally again. Okay. The RPM, CPM is kind of off still, so I don't know if they're just not linked anymore or whatever. They're like, but short answer is yes, it appears as of about November 8th ish, things seem to be back on track to normal.
That's good.
Really, to be honest, it kind of turned the day after the election, and that's another conversation we can have.
Oh boy.
But about the 8th is where it starts to look back to normal. So yeah. I'm sure they're probably dinging my account because I'm sure I'm going to get some number of extra subscribers over the next week or two. And they're going to be like, where'd all these people come from? Are those fake accounts? You know, whatever. Yeah. Obviously real people. I know exactly where they came from. But the good thing there, though, was I will say, like, the professor, super friendly. You know, we were about a year apart in age, so we had a lot to talk about. You know, we talked a lot about perspectives. It was good for both of us because I think I got to share some perspectives with him that he didn't have or things that he hadn't considered. And what he did for me was actually we talked about just kind of growth and how to deal with certain things and, you know, expectations and, you know, and even talked about some future plans. And, you know, he was like, hey, have you considered this? And I'm like, yeah. And I was like, oh, that's another good idea. You know, so it really truly was, in every sense of the word, a real work retreat where we exchanged ideas. We made some really good content. You know, we kind of discussed each other's perspectives on things. And I feel like regardless of what comes out of the content, like, those 36 hours ish are going to be more beneficial than anything else I've probably done in the last 9 months for me over the next probably 2 years. You know, so I think when you collaborate with somebody, regardless of their size, it's making sure that both parties are getting something out of it. I think too often there's people that, oh man, I need to go collaborate with this channel so I get 1,000 subscribers or do it. Like, okay, that's cool. But then what? Like, do you have a plan to engage? Like, even when I put the video up, I had certain time plan, whatever. I had certain engagements lined up. I talked to the professor about how we were going to share it and talk about it. You know, like, everything was intentional. It wasn't just like, okay, we did this thing, I'm going to throw this video up and hope I get a bunch of views and subscribers, right? It's, what are you doing when you have those people? How are you engaging them? What are you doing that's going to show your perspective? Like, what was I doing for his channel? You know, and that was the thing. I saw a lot of comments today where people are like, oh man, it was cool having him on. He's got a different perspective. Or that's the first time I've seen him. This guy has some like insightful stuff or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Right. Okay, cool. So people were gaining something by me being part of that conversation. Because otherwise, he could have just had anybody on there talking about the same random things and the video would have been the same thing if I wasn't bringing something new, right? So just a thing. You know, it was just amazing to see. I was a little disappointed in some ways to see how many people just assumed we were getting together to play Magic. Like, that sort of bothered me. It really did. And I didn't even bring a Magic deck. I literally didn't load a single Magic card. Well, I loaded supplies because I brought him a gift, but I didn't actually take any magic cards. So yeah, that's how serious I was about it. It was just going to be work. And when we were done, I loaded up and drove back home. You know, that was it. So anyway, feel free to check out my channel, check out Tulare Community College, and check out the videos. Some good stuff. Next point of business, I got to give some credit to Jessa Steffen because she put up a really good article that sort of summarized this season's, I guess, qualifications for Magic Organized Play. Even made some new little cool flow charts and everything to show like literally every place and every way you could get an invite and how it all worked and how it's going to feed into the MPL and all that stuff. And it was well written, you know, and I want to make sure Jess gets credit because she's one of the few non-males we have at the top level. So I want to make sure she's getting called for putting in this amount of work, you know, and really giving you a good write-up. It's over on TCG Player Infinite, which is, I guess, what they call their portion of the site where they put articles. But you can look up, if you just search the 2021 season of MTG Organized Play, and that's the title there. But it's really cool because she even gives a background, like, you know, because of COVID, things had to change. You know, here's, you know, links for everything if you want to see all the people in MPL and then the rivals to kind of understand what's happening. Lays out what you get as being part of each of those groups. And it's all very short. She doesn't go into super detail, but enough that it's written in a way that the average person can grok the article. And I think that's the thing I want to point out, that there is some stuff that because if you're invested in a thing, like you and I being sports fans, right? We probably know all these weird corner case rules or whatever that the average viewer is never going to know. So you need to have like the Cliff Notes version for just casual viewer. And then if somebody wants to know more, there's a link and you can go deep. It's like the Magic rules, right? If you see the Magic actual tournament rules, it's, I don't know, like 100 pages or something. But that's literally like detailing out or every single little bitty detail of every little thing that can happen. The average person just wants to know, how do I sign up for a thing? Where do I go to get my pairings for round one? How do I report a match when I'm finished and collect my prizes, right? Like that's all they need to know. And I think this is kind of the equivalent of that. And she does a great job. So I recommend everyone check it out. And she even details out like, okay, you can play in arena in these things. And then, you know, here's what the rank and stuff means in arena and breaks that down. And it's like, okay, if you play in one of the qualifier weekend things you qualify for, what's the outcome? What are the prizes? Quick little chart to detail that. Like it is very well done. This, I think just did a good enough job that this could very well be like the go-to article for the next 6 months or so. If somebody has a question, granted, like it'll change from Zendikar Rising Championship to Kaldheim Championship or whatever, and the dates will change. But as far as how things work, at least for the near future, till we get out of COVID, this will probably be the article I recommend to people. It's really good.
I'm glad you mentioned that. She's doing great work and definitely want to give her all the credit for that. She's also written about just some of the ridiculous hate mail and feedback she's gotten from being a woman playing Magic at the highest level. So it just.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing too. You know, I'm glad you point out all that stuff because it's not just about recognizing these non-male competitors. It's also about saying like, hey, they deserve credit in all these other ways that you're giving credit to all these dudes as well. Like some people are just now coming around to, well, okay, we accept that they're solid players because they're getting finishes or whatever, fine. But I'm like, okay, cool. But what about when they have a good opinion on something? Or like you're saying, when they're talking about issues behind the scenes that are happening, or when they write articles like this, like let's show their other skills and issues or whatever too. You know, they are complete players and complete people, just like these other dudes are that we put on camera all the time or talk about or put on a pedestal for various reasons. Like,
because, you know, she can't, you know, she has a perspective that, like, for example, you and I can't provide. We're never going to know what it's like to be a woman playing Plague Magic at the highest level in front of all these people and everything that goes into that.
Yeah, no doubt.
We need that perspective, especially if we're going to make it easier for other women and other people from marginalized communities to come into this game. And that's what, that's certainly what I want to do. That's part of why we do the show, is because we want to make it easier for people to pick this game up and feel welcome. I know we're, I know not everybody feels that way, but that's the way we feel.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I think at the end of the day, we just got to give full credit where it's due and build these people up. Yeah, because all of this is way more than just playing the game. Like, there's so much that goes into being a good community member. And when people are taking the right steps, like, let's recognize them and give them credit. Regardless of their gender, we shouldn't be gatekeeping people out of this stuff.
Like you said, this is an article that we've needed for a while, and Jess is the one that wrote it.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's really good. I really do. All right, Brian, so as we teased earlier in the episode, you got to play Commander.
I did.
And not just on Grand, you actually played your first real Commander game, both on Spelltable and on stream.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, Spelltable is great. I want to reiterate, now that I've actually had firsthand experience, Spelltable is incredible, great purchase by Wizards.
Yeah, let's talk about this first. Okay, let's start there, right? You decide to play. Obviously, the only way you're going to be able to do it when you're playing with multiple people so it can be streamed is using Spelltable.
Yep.
Well, there's other ways, but the easiest way is using Spelltable. So, like, how difficult was it? And by the way, this isn't sponsored or anything. This is just for people who want to still play paper Magic online. How difficult was it getting everything set up and then learning the interface?
That part of it really took just a couple of minutes. It was very, very easy. I think I was able to register. It was one of my social media. They give you the option where you can Facebook, connect, multiple ways to connect.
Okay. Then once you were in the game, and you got all set up, you know, put your name in and all that stuff, how difficult was it to work through the turns for you? Especially because, you know, I guess to this point, you've mostly only played one-on-one Magic. How difficult was it both following the turn structure and using Spelltable to make that happen?
Surprisingly easy. I was worried, as Tish could tell you all day, like, something's going to go wrong, something's going to break, because the more programs you add when you're creating content, you're just waiting for something to come apart. And I was amazed at how smoothly it went.
And, well, okay, before we get any further, I do want to say, because one of our regulars, Guy, actually pointed out in the Discord. So I told him, I've told you about this before, but I'm going to call you out on camera, or on, I guess, recording, so I can hold you accountable. Like, you got to get in the Discord and remind people when you got stuff going on, because you got appearances now, man. You're somebody. But yeah, like, because there was a couple people, I think Guy he posted the link. It's like, hey, for those of you who don't know, Brian's playing Commander on Twitch right now. It's like, man, you got to make sure he's sharing the stuff in there. I'm like, I have a section just so we can put our appearance stuff so people know when we're doing things. So go utilize it. Get some people, some eyes on your stuff, bro. But yeah, how fun was it? I saw you had a good mix of people. You got to play with Tappy,
We talked about this earlier. Tappy promised to kill me last, which I guess technically was right, but she did have to. You know, she couldn't get the chase at the time, so she had to attack me, and I understood that. Because
question was Tappy using a dinosaur deck?
I want to say there were some dinosaurs. All dinosaur. But
okay, so people are going to ask. I mean, obviously, they're going to probably be banging up the Discord if we don't tell them. Like, so what Commander deck did you play, and what type of deck was it?
I did, I'm going to probably massacre his name, Gered Conclave Exile, just basically trying to make a bunch of tokens. Rhino, okay. Eldrazi's, and all sorts of other things.
Was that one of the newer commanders?
No, I bought him a while back. It's probably been I've had that deck for a year. This is when I've actually gotten to, probably more than a year, possibly. I want to say I bought that pre-pandemic and just have not had a chance to play it until now.
Oh, okay. I know which one you're talking about there. Yeah. I was thinking you just bought a commander. I was like, I don't remember that being one of the recent ones.
No, gotcha. I want to say that's probably from more than a year ago. Because I knew at some point I was going to play. It just, you know, pandemic happened and it took that long to get around to actually playing a game with it.
That makes sense. Were there any difficulties for you as far as figuring out, like, how to adjust a camera or what angles you should be using or whatever, because it's different than just like trying to stream, you know, face cam just to an audience.
I pretty much was just asking people like, hey, okay, you got anything that can block this thing? Because I had also I kind of had my camera set up in a way where I was pretty far from the screen. Of course, I didn't get attacked immediately, so that helped also. I think I was more concerned with any technical things and actually playing or winning, since I knew I didn't fully know what I was doing.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Well, then I guess at the end of all of it, what was your takeaway after your first like real Commander game in front of people?
Definitely a lot of fun. Something we're going to do again. And I mean, chat was great about keeping up with everything. They caught the, I don't know how they caught, but somebody was like, hey, Brian's got 8 cards in his hand. You're right. I don't know how you knew, but I did.
Dude, let me tell you, like fans, like viewers, man, you can't sneeze wrong. I mean, they know, like they know. There would be times where like, wait, why did so-and-so like sacrifice this card? And I was like, yeah. Well, because this and this happened. And I'm like, no, but this went to the graveyard earlier. And I was like, oh, crap, y'all are right.
There was an interaction where I think Chase wanted to do something, and we were all sure that she could do that. Chad was like, no, it doesn't work this way. It works this way. And then after we actually sat down, looked at everything, like, yeah, you know what? Chad is right. She can't do that.
So, yeah, dude, I'm glad you had a good time with that, man. I know it's something you've been looking forward to doing, so it's cool that everything worked out. And you didn't have a technical snafu.
So happy, because Spectrum had been going crazy all day yesterday. And somehow, whatever problem they were having, they got worked out by 8 p.m. Eastern. So I don't say this often, but thank you, Spectrum. Maybe the first time I've ever said that.
That's funny. All right, let's step into the dinner table or over to the dinner table just for a second. And this is a topic I believe we covered this before, probably about 25 episodes ago or so. But I feel like it needs to be touched on again because I'm seeing it pop up a lot. And it may just be because more people are home engaging with content creators. There's just more people putting more content out there. But there seems to be a thing where viewers or fans are trying to get way too personal with content creators that aren't doing that type of content. And what I mean is, like, if somebody, let's say somebody like you, you're doing a thing with your family, right? That's public. If they ask you a question about your wife or your kids or whatever, makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? They're into what you're doing. You know, if somebody asked me about, you know, areas I live in, or because they've seen me camping in one of my videos, or okay, cool, that kind of makes sense. But when people outright are asking, like, oh, are you married, or are you dating somebody, or, you know, what city do you live in, or, you know, do you have kids that are yada yada, right? If that's not part of somebody's content or something that they have voluntarily put forth, you shouldn't be asking that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what they asked me. I can only imagine what they ask women, or hell, somebody who's trans or whatever. I'm sure they get worse questions. I can already think of 2 or 3.
Hearing the creepy comments, and like I talked about how, you know, the clips of them walking away. I mean, just things like that. So yeah, it's.
Yeah. And I don't think people understand, like, it's, and I was discussing this with somebody last night where their perspective was, well, didn't think it would be a big deal if they're doing something where they're putting themselves out to the public. And I had to explain to them, they are putting themselves out to the public.
Yeah.
Like, not the things around them, not their family, not their location. Plus, let's be real. Like, I have already gotten over the years, even before I was doing content, my fair share of hate mail, emails, threats, whatever. It's only amplified the bigger you get as a creator. So why does somebody want to put themselves in a situation to amplify that and make it worse than they need to? Like, I'm accepting that I do a lot of things. I do a lot of stuff publicly. I've been part of a bunch of public organizations and whatever. Like, you could find information on them if you want to. So yeah. I don't make that big a deal about it. But if you're not one of those people, you probably don't feel comfortable doing that. And it was interesting to me how people were just like, oh, no, I never thought it was that big of a deal. I'm like, why are you even asking? Like, knowing, unless, again, unless it's about the content involved or you're having a discussion where maybe you're talking about, I don't know, marriage laws or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe then you can say, okay, are you married or dating somebody or whatever? Because that gives some context to your perspective in this argument, right? But if it's not something like that, if they're just playing Magic or playing Madden or League of Legends or whatever, what does it matter who they're sleeping with? It's that thing we talked about a couple months back about Pokimane, right? Where people were freaking out about her because they couldn't tell if she was dating anybody or not. Like, so what? It literally has nothing to do with her content.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. It just... come on, like, we just got to be better. Like, there's just no reason to ask. You know, when people even ask me, like, oh, well, where do you live or whatever, I just say Pacific Northwest. Because somebody asked me about me and the professor, and I told him, no, I just drove to meet him. And people were like, oh, cool, where was that? I'm like, I don't know if the professor wants his location known.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, yeah, we're up in the Pacific Northwest. That's the best I'm going to tell you. And, you know, some people took that the wrong way, but I'm like, I don't know.
Especially
like,
if it's somebody else's information, it is not your place to put that out there, like you said.
Exactly. Like, I have no idea. I'm not, literally, I will tell you nothing about, unless you can see it in the video. That's how much you're going to know about what I know about the professor's stuff.
You can't tell other people where the Bat Cave is. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, exactly. But even beyond that, like, I'm not, anything anybody would, I don't know, somebody might want to know, like, well, did he have this thing or does he collect this or how big is the place or like, I don't know. I'm not telling you any of that.
Yeah, none of your business. It's...
yeah, there's literally no reason for you to know. Like, even in my stuff, like, I'm shooting my backyards. You can see my chickens and stuff or whatever. Like, you get certain looks at things. And if you want to go through and piece together everything, great. But that's what you're going to get, right? There's reasons certain pictures aren't shown. Or certain things aren't talked about, right? Just because they aren't important to the content and there's no reason for people to know them.
And because, you know, we are doing a family channel and we have put ourselves out there. One of the things we discussed beforehand, look, anybody that doesn't want to do a video, they don't have to. This is up to you if you want to be in it. If not, there's no reason for you to be in it if you don't feel like it. If you decide that you just don't enjoy being on YouTube, you don't have to.
Man, your boy loves the camera, though.
Well, yeah. I mean,
he really does. You can tell from just watching the videos he's in. He's a goofball, man. He definitely takes after his dad.
He is a natural.
But yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, I've seen it enough times. And like I said, it came up for me recently. And I wasn't upset by it, mind you. Like, I understood how to deal with it. It wasn't a big deal. But it just feels like a public service announcement just to remind people, like, hey, your creators don't owe you any other information than what's being put forth and what's directly related to what's being put forth. If it's not important to that thing, don't bother asking them about it because they haven't put it forth themselves. Now, at some point, if the creator comes forward and says, hey, I want to talk about this subject because I have a wife, boyfriend, cousin, whatever, that is dealing with this thing. Okay, now it's become public knowledge and they're okay, comfortable talking about it. But if they haven't, I wouldn't bring it up. And it's funny to me because I don't even think when I'm watching somebody else's channel, like, you know, because I still hang out in other people's channels after I send a raid over, right? I've sent stuff to like Jenna Amari, fairly regularly. I send stuff over to actually a few different people. Actually, now I'm thinking about McKenna. I've sent something to her channel. I mean, Nessa, I've sent something to hers.
I should mention that Covert Go Blue dropped me a huge raid the other day. That was awesome and much appreciated.
CGB's been helping out a lot. He's a good dude, man. He's really trying to be a good steward of the community. So, I mean, I got to give him props.
Yep.
But even when I go hang out in these channels, like, I don't ever think about asking them about, like, what's home life like? you know, like, or whatever. Like, I mean, I get it. You want to know more about the people creating your content or whatever, but we also have to have some realistic expectation that these people do have other things going on and other things they may hold sacred or whatever that isn't public, and they don't want it to be public. Or in some cases, they don't want it to shape the opinion of some of their content.
I'm glad I make content with my wife, so that already cuts off a whole bunch of questions. Everybody knows I'm married. Everybody knows I'm taken. No sliding into the DMs.
But yeah, so I mean, it's tough, right? I had somebody get mad, actually this morning, and it's fine. I just thought about this, but like somebody actually, I had to delete a comment because somebody was not happy that during the discussion the professor and I had, which by the way, we were talking about motivation and self-worth and how that's being affected during the pandemic. And we talked about just, I think we made the statement of something along the lines of the positive outcome from the recent election. And, oh man, the fact that we viewed that as positive, a couple of people did not like that. But we put our political opinion out there. So now if somebody wants to ask me about it or bring it up on something, like it is something that's known.
They must not listen to the podcast or they'd know already.
Well, yeah, that was my thing. You are obviously not a regular or a subscriber because it was not a secret. But I get it, right? Other people may not feel comfortable putting that out there. But we also talked about it. We knew the risk, and we were okay having that on film. You know, I don't know if other people would, because again, the negativity that could potentially come from it.
Tappy said, you know, she's gotten a whole bunch of messages saying, hey, you know, leave the politics out of it. Stick to magic. And boy, they don't know Tappy. That was not what to say.
Shoot. Tappy, she'll go to town on you, dude, yeah. For real. I'm not, no lie. Tappy might be tougher than some dudes I know.
Oh, no doubt.
For real. But anyway, just be kinder to the people producing content. Keep the discussions on the subject matter, on the content at hand, on the topic at hand. And just be understanding to them as humans. That's it. Like, we are creating stuff for entertainment. We are creating things for your consumption. But at the same time, you know, we're trying to just create a better, I mean, really just a better world and a better thing around these subjects you're interested in. So let's not try to make it uncomfortable for some of these people. For some people, this may even be an outlet. This may be the thing they're good at that they can actually make money doing versus doing something else, right? Don't make it any harder on them than it needs to be. And finally, one last thing we want to give a thanks to. He goes by at Hackworth on Twitter for offering to purchase us a Christmas gift. I won't get into details, but it was a cool private message. And just want to say thank you for that, for even thinking of us in that way. You know, it's still new and interesting to have as many fans as we're starting to gain from our different efforts. So it's cool to see that kind of stuff when it pops up. So thank you again for that. Brian, why don't you tell people where they can find you on anything when you're not doing the podcast?
All right. I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After.
And as always, you can find me at Power Dragon, PowerDragan on just about all social platforms. And you can check out my other channel, Power Dragon Outdoors, just to see cool stuff going on away from the computer and magic cards, if you just want to see something a bit different. But as always, wherever you are listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And please, please, please follow the lockdown rules, wear your mask, wash your hands. Even if you think it's dumb, if you like us and you appreciate us, do it for us, if nothing else, so we can get back to gaming and gathering as soon as possible. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it. because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.